Praise team. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Dave. Billy Graham tells of a time early in his career when he arrived in a small town to preach a sermon. Wanting to mail a letter, he asked a young boy where the post office was. When the boy told him, Billy Graham thanked him, and he said, "If you come to the Baptist church this evening, you'll hear me telling everyone how to get to heaven." The boy replied, "I don't think I'll go. You don't even know your way to the post office." Our reading this morning is John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. And I think we're going to go back about five verses in chapter 9, going into when Dave gives his talk on the healing of the blind man. Start at verse 35 in chapter 9. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, that is, the man born blind that Jesus had healed, Jesus found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He asked, "Who is the Son of Man, sir, so that I can believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The Son of Man is the one talking with you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And then the man worshipped Jesus. Jesus said, "I came into this world so that the world could be judged. I came so that the blind would see, and so that those who see will become blind." Some of the Pharisees were nearby, heard Jesus say this, and asked, "Are you saying we are blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But since you keep saying that you see, your guilt remains." Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. The person who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The one who guards the door opens it for him, and the sheep listen to the voice of the shepherd. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them. When he brings all his sheep out, he goes ahead of them, and they follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they don't know his voice." Jesus told the people this story, but they did not understand what it meant. So Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the door for the sheep. All the people who came before me were thieves and robbers. The sheep did not listen to them. I am the door, and the person who enters through me will be saved, and will be able to come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But I came to give life, life in its fullness." Amen. Jesus describes himself as being the door. There's a TV game show called Let's Make a Deal. And when I was younger, it was hosted by Monty Hall. He would offer the participants the choice of three doors, and depending on the choice made, the player would receive a valuable prize, or he would be zapped. Our lives are very much like that game show. Life is made up of choices. And depending on which door to life that we choose, we will either receive a blessing or we'll be zapped. In our reading this morning, Jesus uses the imagery of shepherd and sheep, which were familiar symbols deeply embedded in Hebrew life and history, as found in the Psalms, Isaiah, and Jeremiah. There are a lot of different ideas out there about how to come to God and what you have to do to get to heaven. In this text, Jesus identifies those who belong to God as his sheep and himself as the door. Sheep are vulnerable animals. They don't have any natural defenses of their own. For them, there is safety in numbers. Sheep have a flock mentality, preferring to hang out in groups and sometimes follow one another into trouble. Sheep do not pick their own direction. The good shepherd leads them to safe pastures. And what Jesus is saying in our reading is not only a tender pastoral teaching, but a stinging condemnation of those who profess to be shepherds, but are actually thieves and robbers, strangers and hirelings. Those who will not enter the sheepfold by the one door have not come to care for the sheep, but they are thieves and robbers, come to divide and to destroy. They attempt to bypass the doorkeeper, who would never allow them to enter, by climbing over the fence unnoticed. These strangers, masquerading as shepherds, disguising their voices, are trying to come between the shepherd and his sheep. But the sheep flee, frightened by the unfamiliar voice. Yet how different is the shepherd who enters the sheepfold with authority, because he is familiar to the doorkeeper. And the sheep are at ease with him, because they know his voice when he calls them. There might be several flocks in the same fold, which was a courtyard beside a house. But each flock knew the voice of their own shepherd. In these familiar pastoral symbols, Jesus is making it vividly clear the contrast between the shepherd and those who come to plunder the sheep, however innocent they might appear, and the different ways by which they enter the sheepfold. But the shepherd enters openly through the door. The shepherd comes to care and provide pasture, but the others to plunder and to destroy, taking what was not theirs. The picture Jesus has drawn is not simply a comparison or a parable. It's a mysterious saying full of compressed thought. Those whose eyes have been opened spiritually would see the truth hidden in this figurative language. But the spiritual blind would be baffled and angered. They did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Verse 6. These religious leaders claimed spiritual knowledge, yet they were completely blind. They rejected the Son of God. They claimed to have sight, but acted like they were blind. Their sin remained, and they were condemned for all of eternity. It never occurred to these religious leaders that they could be spiritually blind. Jesus did not tell them that they were spiritually blind, but they came to that powerful conclusion and refused to act upon it except in a hostile way. In verse 7, Jesus becomes very specific and personal in illuminating the meaning of his illustration. There is an exclusiveness about his solemn declaration, "I am the door of the sheep." He is the one and only entrance by which the sheep can enter the fold and join the flock. There is no other way for us to have access to the full treasure of life. Jesus is the only door to heaven. All who ever came before Jesus and all who have come after him, claiming to announce life apart from faith in him, cannot make themselves the door of the sheep. Jesus calls them thieves and robbers. Whether they're priestly rulers, religious politicians whose hands have been dirtied ever since the time of Maccabees, or those eager for power and recognition, claiming to be the Messiah, leading the people astray with false promises, selfishly preying on them, dividing and robbing them. But the sheep of Jesus do not listen to these confusing and alien voices, for they know there is only one shepherd and one door. And the church in every age has had to deal with those who try to crawl over the fence and take over the flock, claiming to be the door. In our day of anxiety and confusion, we confront everything from Eastern mysticism in its many, many disguised forms, to the Unification Church and other religious groups. These are false prophets promising life, but in the end, they bring death. But with Jesus, there is life abundance. Those who enter by him will be saved. Verse 9. They are given wholeness as they join the other sheep in the fold. Here they have liberty, freely going in and out, led by the one to whom they belong. They have heard the shepherd call their names, and they are satisfied, for he provides pasture. He shares with them the abundance of his own life. Isn't this what the blind man whom Jesus healed was given? The salvation he received is both physical and spiritual. It also gave him the freedom from the rigid legalism of Judaism and from the fear of his parents and the provision of the shepherd who has made him one of his flock. So in our passage this morning, Jesus is telling us that the door is a person. In bold language, Jesus declares himself to be the door of the sheep. The sheepfold was usually a circular enclosure surrounded by stone walls. There was only one opening in this wall, allowing access into this enclosure. And at night, while the sheep were all gathered in, the shepherd himself would lay in that opening, and in effect, he would become the door. Nothing could get in or out without passing through him. And Jesus says that he is the door. No one gets into God's flock without going through him. Verse 1 reminds us that to attempt any other way makes one a thief and a robber. So how can Jesus make such claims as to be the only door to salvation and eternal life? What makes him so unique? How can he make such statements of sovereign grace? Jesus can make such remarkable claims because he is the great I Am. Verse 7, I am the door of the sheep. Everything Jesus says makes good sense, since he is who he says he is, and he is who he claims to be. In this great, awesome statement, Jesus claims to be God. We deserve to die for our own sins, but the perfect Son of God was without sin. He was a holy and righteous God who came to save his people from their sins. He came and died as our substitute, and by means of his death for our sins and his resurrection, he literally became the door or the gate by which sinful people can come into the presence of God. Hebrews 10:20 tells us he is the new and living way. Ephesians 2:18 says, and it is through him that we have access to the Father. There is only one door, and Christ himself is that door. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. There is only one way to the Father, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. Salvation only comes through faith in Jesus. Baptism won't do it. Church membership won't do it. Ritual and religious activities just won't get the job done. There's only one plan for man's salvation, and that is through faith in the finished work of Christ at Calvary. Salvation is simple, really. It's just very exclusive. Romans 10:9-10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised them from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Romans 10:13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's a story about U.S. astronaut Shannon Lucid. She desperately wanted to go home. She'd spent 6 months on the Russian Mir space station from March to September 1996. Her ride home was delayed 6 weeks by two hurricanes and assorted mechanical problems with the shuttle booster rockets, making her stay in space at that time the longest of any American astronaut, male or female. Nevertheless, she faced each setback with patient good cheer and a stiff upper lip. But as the days wore on, she knew where she would rather be. Eventually, she admitted she wanted to return home to see her family, to feel the sun and the wind on her face, and to check out the new books published in the last 6 months. Prior to being picked up for her return to Earth by the space shuttle Atlantis, Shannon Lucid said, "You can rest assured I'm not going to be on the wrong side of the hatch when they close it." There's another important door in Shannon Lucid's life and in ours as well. It's the door to heaven. If our heart is set on going home to heaven, we will do whatever is necessary to ensure that we are on the right side of heaven's door when it shuts for the last time. In the statement from the lips of Jesus, we find a tremendous offer given to sinners. In these words, Jesus offers hope to everyone who is wandering in a life of sin. While Jesus wants to save you, he will never force himself upon you. However, he gives you opportunities to come to him. Notice what he proposes to fallen men and women. Salvation is an offer of God to every man and every woman. No person alive today is beyond the reach of God's saving love. Many feel that there is no hope for them. Yet the Bible is clear that God loves all men and women and offers them salvation in Jesus Christ. You can be saved today if you're lost in sin. A door serves one of two purposes. It can be a barrier designed to keep people out, or it can be a means of access, allowing people in. And salvation is God's gift to a fallen race. However, before this gift can be realized, it must be received. And no one will ever be saved unless they personally and consciously come to Jesus and receive him into their heart and their life. God offers us salvation, and he means it. But we will not be saved until we come to him by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a person comes to Jesus for salvation, they find themselves completely transformed and eternally saved. They're instantly liberated and made new in Jesus. For myself, it's easier to believe that God saves and keeps us than it is to believe that he saves, loses, saves, loses, saves, loses. I know we don't deserve it, but we're eternally saved from the very instant of our salvation. In Jesus, the curse of death is removed, and we are set free from the awful wrath of God. Remember the prodigal son? When the prodigal son returned home, the father ran out to meet him, and he fell upon him. There are probably several reasons why the father did this. However, there is one biblical reason that we can be absolutely certain of. That's found in Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21. In these verses, the town people were instructed to stone a child who had disobeyed and dishonored his parents. So when the father ran and fell upon his son's neck, he was placing himself between his son and anyone who would want to kill him. This is exactly what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. He placed himself between us and the wrath of God. We deserve to die for our sins, but Jesus observed God's wrath and paid the price for us. Now we're all free from the penalty of sin. There's not one saint of God who ever has the fear of going to hell. According to Romans 6:14, Jesus breaks sin's power in the life of the saint of God. After we come to Christ, we're no longer slaves to the whims of the flesh and the devil. We are made free in Jesus, and are given the liberty to withstand temptation and to live for God. One of the greatest wonders of salvation is the great change that comes into a Christian's life. It seems that we just don't want many of the things that we used to think that we couldn't live without. One day when we leave this world, we will forever be free of sin's presence. In heaven, sin will not be allowed. Not only that, we'll receive new flesh and will no longer have any desire towards sin. So Jesus, the door, is a promise. It's a promise that in His pasture, we find rest. No longer are we searching for what we needed. We have found what our heart was longing for, and His name is Jesus. Now, we're permitted to rest in His grace and anticipate our heavenly homecoming. I'm not trying to be saved, are you? I'm just resting on grace. It was grace that sought me, grace that bought me, and grace that will bring me home. After all, what did Jesus say? Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. In His pasture we find refreshment. In Jesus, the saint of God finds all that his or her heart needs for absolute and perfect contentment. When we taste and find that the Lord is good, we lose our appetite for other things. In His pasture, there is fullness of joy. When we think of the Lord's pasture, it reminds us that He is the sustainer and He is the satisfier. And in Jesus, we find the fullness of joy that was lacking when we wandered in sin. And in His pasture, we find rejoicing because the child of God has ample reason to rejoice this morning. Luke 10:20 tells us, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. The false shepherd or the thief seeks nothing but his own selfish interest. He will refrain from nothing, even the killing of the sheep, to get his way. But Jesus, on the other hand, did not come to get, but to give. He came so that you and I might be delivered from sin in all its evil, and experience the best possible life imaginable. And that life is simply His life, lived through us day by day. It's a new eternal life, lived in Him, for Him, by Him. It's an abundant life. We have eternal life right now. John 6:47, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. And how abundant that life is depends on the depth of our relationship to Jesus. So let's be sure that we're as close to Him as we possibly can be. So where do you find yourself today? Are you wandering around outside the blessings and the family of God, but you want to come inside where the blessings are? If that describes you, if you feel a lack of something in your life, or if you know for sure that you're unsaved, then I invite you to come to Jesus right now. If you'll come to Him and confess yourself a sinner and receive Him as your Savior, He'll save you right now and forever. The message of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, is a constant reminder of man's inability to save himself. It's a message that Jesus Christ alone is able to make atonement for our sins. It's a message that there's only one way to salvation. It's a reminder that there's a future judgment against sin for all who reject Christ as the only door to salvation. How you respond to Jesus Christ in this life determines where you will spend eternity. Jesus says, I am the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The cross of Christ is a turning point in life, and what we do at that point determines where we spend eternity. Those who believe on Jesus Christ enter into eternal life and enjoy God's presence right now for all of eternity. Those who reject Him and refuse to pass through His door go into eternal separation from Him forever in hell. Our response to Jesus Christ as the door determines our eternal destiny. So if you haven't already, I pray that you will decide today to walk through that door by faith and receive His gift of eternal life. Amen. Let's ask the team to come back up and close us in song and prayer.
Morning, that we have been reminded again of the greatness of our God. The Lord Jesus, very God and very man, He came into this world that we might by faith receive forgiveness and eternal life. Lord, let there be no person from this group leave today without the full assurance that they know this great God, the Lord Jesus. And we thank You that we who have listened and been reminded again of the goodness of Yourself to us, Lord, abundance of life, joy, life everlasting, we are so grateful, Lord, that You have brought us into that wonderful fold, that wonderful shepherd continues to lead. And so as we go forth from this place, lead us forth that we might share this message with others of the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and the soon coming shepherd. And we give Your thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.